Cowboy Wisdom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Radio, and I'm waiting for the guests to call in and But anyway, my guest is Bill Thomason, and I had a, and anyway, we're getting Bill on the line right now. This is my mistake, and I will take on. Anyway, hold on with me. Be patient.
Great.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Robert Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom Radio, and tonight you're in for a very, very, very special treat. Bill Thomason, an certified NLP trainer who's going to expand your wisdom and open your eyes to some of your own talents you didn't know. But Bill, I've been to some of Bill's meetups, and Bill's got a very calm demeanor, but yet a very, very innovative way of doing it. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Bill to the show. Welcome, Bill.
Well, welcome to you, and welcome to your cowboy wisdom, visionary vitality milieu, people who are listening.
And, Bill, let's give people an understanding what NLP is and kind of where you start with and give them a reference to what NLP is.
Okay, well, I'm an executive coach and certified NLP master trainer, which is sort of the highest level of it. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. Sounds a little bit technical. Basically what it is neuro, brain and nervous system, and then how our language is specifically programming our behavior. So this idea that language creates behavior, also language creates our reality. So there's the question, well, what is reality anyway? And there's a way of thinking about it. Well, it's sort of what I say it is. So it's in the language I use that creates the richness of the experience I'm having in my life, if that makes sense. If you think about people who are the most charismatic speakers and communicators of our time and maybe even past times. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi had a way of communicating himself, like you said, kind of passive or non-threatening kind of way of communicating himself. John F. Kennedy had a much more direct way, but there was ways he used his language to create his reality. If you think about Martin Luther King or you think about Steve Jobs, these are guys who use language that inspires people. So you want to have your life successful, that would be wisdom. As you are successful, you notice that you do things differently than people who aren't successful in a particular area. So the idea that there are places, I guess NLP started back in the 70s with this computer generation coming up, and there were, you know, if you remember, computers used to be things that had big boxes, and you had a monitor that sat on a table, and they had 5 1/4 floppy disks. Well, the idea that an IBM kind of computer is kind of similar to how people are. We all have similar programming in the way that we operate. Except that some of the minute programming, the stuff that if you think about you're not getting exactly what you want in life, what if you could pull the little floppy disk out? Some people don't remember 5 1/4, but then they went to 3 1/2, and now they're CDs and DVDs and all of that, and hard drives. There's a whole bunch of different ways, levels we've gone through to get where we are. But in the old days, that whole idea of information in, information out. If you get good code, you get the result you want. If you got bad code, you don't get that result. You get garbage. So where you've got garbage going on in your life, you're not getting what you want. What if we could just pull the floppy disk out, rework the wiring, the coding in there, and slide it back in again so that you get more of what you want? So it's the idea of, well, how do we actually create change in our lives? We've all got some area that doesn't give us exactly what we want. We seem to sabotage ourselves in all kinds of ways. Well, neuro-linguistic programming offers us just this whole bag of tricks, a set of tools and ways of thinking and being that actually shift your reality. So if that begins to give you some idea, it's kind of an experiential science and art, if you think about it. I'll get people who will read about neuro-linguistic programming in books, and it's kind of difficult to really get it that way, because you can think of things intellectually, but when you actually get the patterns that create change in people, it just shifts your programming, and you can get it at a deep tissue level, and you really want to find somebody who can help you, a good coach, like what I do with people individually, or go to a training program like Robert's been to the meetup groups, and we do even certification trainings, and people use these skill sets in all phases of life. It's used in sports and business and just about anything you can think of. Does that begin to lay some groundwork yet?
Yeah, and here's a question I was waiting to ask you. How does the media and politicians use NLP and people don't even understand the topic?
Well, there's a really good point. You know somebody who has a lot of negative language all the time, and you begin to look around at their life and see how they live it, well, they have a lot of negative things happening. So if you get where the idea of your unconscious mind, that you have a conscious way of processing and an unconscious part, you know, your unconscious mind makes your heart beat and your lungs go and blood pressure stay stable, and it does a massive amount of work, and we sort of, in our dreaming time, we work things out sometimes. So really the conscious processing part of our human computer is only dealing with that little bit of data. It's actually what we, in some of the research they did, they found it was 7 plus or minus 2 things that we can pay attention to at any one particular point in time. So advertisers have studied some of these ways that the brain and nervous system work and how patterns work for us, and so has the government. So in a way, the only real protection you've got from being programmed in ways that aren't integrous or aren't the programming you really want to have is by learning a lot more about how it all works. If you're in sales or some other, in fact, almost any kind of thing you do, you're involved in persuasion on a regular day-by-day basis in one way or another, so you want to become more persuasive. Well, these guys have studied specifically how to program right in past your conscious awareness. And as you begin to learn some of the linguistic skills, they are quite powerful. I mean, unscrupulous people could learn these skills and use them in ways that aren't very good for us. But what we do in the way we teach these skills is with the idea of do no harm, so that you want to, sort of like you want to use this for good, not for bad, and we sort of give people positive programming so that's how they're going to use it, if that makes sense. But not everybody works that way, so you want to have more control over what gets into your brain. You know, you think about how much television people work or watch, and how your kids are coming up with exposure to their friends and school and television and all those different sources. They're getting programmed. You get something in the neighborhood of 3,000 advertising messages every day, and they kind of add up. If you get enough of them that have a similar flavor, it will go right in past the kind of inhibitions or filters that we have, and you begin to notice, well, I think I want a hamburger. Well, I wasn't thinking about a hamburger 5 minutes ago, but I saw a commercial, I saw a billboard, those commercial messages are coming in so many ways. It's sort of like we're just bombarded with information all the time, and some of it is geared to bypass the conscious filters so that we're influenced in ways. So really the only defense for it is to learn how it works so that you actually get more choice. Does that follow?
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. And every time you hear the word but, what does that do for him? That's an NLP big one right there.
We'll get right down to the basics. People have negative language. In fact, just simple things in language. I'm going to get to the but, and before we get there, just the word not. You think about how the brain and nervous system program, if you say, tell a kid, don't spill the milk, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to go right over, isn't it? Most people have that experience. I haven't met anybody yet who doesn't know that. Well, really what happens is the child has to represent to themselves the milk spilling before they can not spill the milk. So it's almost as if the unconscious mind doesn't hear the word not. So you want to focus on what you want in life to get more positive programming, get more of the things you want, instead of focusing on what you don't want, which is where most people come to me for coaching. They know what they don't want anymore. My first job is going to be to shift them to what they do want, get them out of what the negatives were into what the positives are. So if you just eliminate negatives out of your language for a little while until you get better distinctions about it. There's another thing in our language that's just so prevalent. We use the word but all the time, not thinking about what the impact of it is. So we use language this way, but when I say the word but, just let yourself be aware of what it feels like. It's almost like there's another shoe about to fall. Because what I just said, you're a really nice guy, but you're waiting for that shoe to fall. If I say you're a nice guy and it actually connects the two things, so you're not waiting for something negative to happen. But we use but in ways that aren't really what we mean because it negates everything we just said. It's almost as if we keep saying things, put a but on the end of it, and whatever we said, we don't believe it, we didn't mean it. We've actually negated our own experience. So that is the grammatic function of the word but in a sentence. It's not particularly used well in our culture. So you want to begin to get aware of that for a little while. You're not only going to begin to eliminate the negatives, you're also going to begin to look, well, at what point did you say the word but? And you can do it, think of it like a tape recorder. You push the little stop button, run it backwards a little bit, eliminate the word but in your language, say the same thing you just said with an and in it instead of a but until you get the habit of using and instead of but. Women, you think of this one, well, I notice you have these really great shoes on and nice pants, but I'm looking at your blouse and it's kind of blue. Well, whatever I meant by it, you probably didn't get a really nice experience of it because you're wondering what's wrong with your blue blouse now. But if I said, your shoes are really great and your pants look good and you have a blue blouse, it just doesn't have that impact whatsoever. So you begin to get a sense of how we're using our language and you want to use it more consciously to get the impact in the world that you actually want. In fact, most of the conflicts I find, I do a lot of corporate training, and conflicts that go on between people are usually points at which you have a nice intention about what you're trying to do or say, and it gets heard or experienced as something else. There's nothing wrong with your intention, it's just not giving you the result you want, and kind of the problem with our programming, since we're pattern-making devices is once we learn something, we keep doing it the same way until there's a good enough reason or a big enough pattern interrupt for you to actually start doing things a different way. So begin to look at every time you say but, you can just change it. Pretty soon you won't be having to change it. You'll begin to recognize, oh, I'm going to use an and here, and it'll come out naturally. You will have actually changed some behavior. Most people never get an idea in life that, regardless of what the circumstances are, they can actually change the way they feel about things. Most people live life like it's sort of happening to them. We're the victims of our experience. We're the victims of whatever the circumstances are until we begin to take control of the language and the way we're living in life so that you begin to say what you mean and get the result you're actually looking for, because it actually takes you being aware of what must be going on with other people or getting direct feedback from them. And sometimes we get the feedback and go, oh, that doesn't count. I really meant good, so that's okay. But we say in NLP there's sort of a belief system, well, the meaning of your communication is the response you're getting. Now think about that for a minute. If the response you're getting is what the meaning of the communication is, don't you want to take a few extra steps to make sure that what you just said is what actually got heard by another person? Yeah, go ahead.
And now I'm on your website, NLPskills.com, because I really want to get, you got some good, you got your free meetups on Wednesday night, which is really good. But you also on the February 22nd, 2014, you have your Design a Life with Design a Life You Love with Expanded Folded Time Coaching Patterns.
Yeah.
Tell people what they would get, and you can call 602-321-7192 to register, or go to NLPskills.com. What would somebody get? What would expand somebody's life if they chose to come to that?
This is a really amazing, life-changing workshop. It's actually 2 days. It's the 22nd and 23rd. It goes from about 9 o'clock in the morning till 5:30 or so. And in that 2 days, we're actually going to have you come out. You know, we were talking about getting the goals and outcomes you say you want in your life so that you get to be a happier, more successful person. Well, we're going to, the idea that you're going to come out with written goals from this workshop. So we're going to get a little bit of a foundation and set some frames in place and then have you actually writing down your goals. I don't know about you, but I sort of, most people will set like New Year's resolutions, and pretty soon they're not doing that. This is a whole different idea. If you read the motivational books and listen to the speakers, there's something really powerful about having written goals. So first of all, we're going to get the outcomes or goals for you written in a way that is going to have them occur. Like, you don't have to really work at it so hard. You're not going to have to think about it every day. It's going to go in at an unconscious level, because what we're going to do, secondly, is actually begin to unhook the negative emotional threads or chains of things in your life that have been preventing you from success. So what if guilt just never, you couldn't find it anymore? You know, you think about something you felt guilty about. Most people, as soon as you get something specific that you felt guilty about or remorseful about, you get an immediate feeling in your body, probably in your gut or in your chest or whatever. And, you know, it's not like you ever really let that go. It's still there. So what if that whole chain of things that were centered around guilt or fear or anxiety or sadness or anger, what if anger just wasn't there anymore? You couldn't find it. So we're going to do some processes, some open or closed eye processes, one after another, and eliminate those threads as if it was like weeds and you're going to take it out by the roots. So first of all, we're going to get your goal. Secondly, we're going to eliminate the emotional reasons why you haven't been successful already, which is the emotional threads. And then third, we're going to create a new future for you. We're going to do another process that installs the future so compelling that you cannot help but do what's necessary to achieve it. And people come out of this workshop, the response I usually get is, my whole life has changed. I'm now getting what I want. A year or two later, people are realizing, you know, the things I wrote on my goal list, I thought they were going to take, you know, a year or 2 years or 5 years. They happened in a fraction of that time. So lots of people are getting their outcomes or goals that they didn't really think they could get. But when we put them in this way so that the unconscious mind is engaged in helping you get what you want, people find that their whole lives change. They begin to be much more successful. I like to do this seminar about once a year just because it's about the only way I get my goals written. Because if I don't go to a seminar and be a captive audience where there's nothing else to do, there's no computer email coming in and no telephones ringing, and it's a captive environment, so I actually will sit and be in the right state I need to be in to get those outcomes, goals written in a way that is successful. So does that sound like something you like to do?
Oh, I like all kinds of this stuff. But you got something on yours on this website where I'm looking at, and it's called the verbal reframing and sleight of mouth. That's always – I've learned NLP, and that's the one that I really – get the biggest kick out. But how does the verbal reframing and sleight of mouth, because you can go on this website and look at all Bill's books and all this stuff there to expand your life, but that one, how does that help in sales and just in life in general?
Well, it's really basic to what NLP is, this whole idea that language is programming our behavior. And I'm actually working on a new CD with a partner that we're going to actually do sleight of mouth patterns, which are language patterns in NLP. So in a conversation, what if you could actually help somebody, a friend or children or a business partner, or just be more successful in your sales life and business relationships, where just by using the way language works, you can cause somebody to get a slightly different idea or belief change that bypasses their conscious filters in such a way that you've suggested something to them that they act on. When we do NLP training, like a practitioner training or whatever, we build the skills one on top of another, so that one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. A lot of it is linguistic, so we want to use our language in a way that is, in sleight of mouth patterns, we actually sort of break the rules of English. There was a guy named Milton Erickson. He was a medical doctor, lived in Phoenix, Arizona, died in 1981, but he had gotten interested in hypnosis, and he figured out ways of putting sentences together that cause people to go into deep, profound trance states. Well, he realized you don't have to be like old-style hypnosis where somebody swings a watch and eyes close and you don't remember what happened the way most people think hypnosis is. This is more like waking hypnosis, that people are in states that are more susceptible, more open all the time in the middle of a conversation. You begin to get the clues you need, the physiological clues. People open, they close their eyes, they look one way, they look the other, they get color in their face. You begin to recognize in a training like this to pay attention to those subtle physiological cues and linguistic cues. The tonality of how people say what they say is important. And you learn to use it in a way that actually causes people to interrupt the old pattern and let a new one in. And you think how many ways that might be useful to you.
Oh, that's useful all the time.
I was going to say there is an aspect of it that's about the integrity of it, and we do no harm. So what we're really looking at is how people can get what they say they want. So I'll use language to help people in my coaching so that they get to be more successful, they get to have better relationships, they get to be better business people and leaders, and use language that actually works better for them in their lives.
And see, but it's just helped me, NLP's helped me just in listening and communicating back in a better way. It really has.
That's huge. In my workshops and seminars, when I do corporate training, if I can come away with just one thing out of a workshop or seminar with people, is that they can get out of their own heads, because you got the thoughts that are going on over in your head, and that's a kind of a limited aspect of things. You've limited the number of data points you can get. As soon as your attention moves from where you are, because you've got your own thoughts regardless, and include what's actually going on within other people, you sort of set up what's called a biofeedback loop, where you're now out of your own head and in a bigger communication than you were before. You naturally get more data points. You've got more choices available to you from there. So if I can get people processing information and communicating from not only what they're trying to communicate, but how it's actually landing with other people, that their attention goes out there, they're going to know things about the communication issues they used to have that just bypass all of that and go right in where the communication needs to land with other people. So most of us are anticipating that everybody else operates like we do. So we keep communicating the way we would want information instead of the way other people want it and need it. So you will actually give you sets of skills that are about, well, how do you find out how they need the information and actually deliver it to them the way they need it?
And that's true. I want to give out all of Bill's websites here. Bill, one is www.gcnlp.com, and the one we're on right now is www.nlpskills.com, and he's also got one, www.nlplifecoachphoenix.com. And I want to get to your four-week NLP practitioner certification, March 1st and 2nd, 8th and 9th. Then it's four weekends, basically, the 1st and 2nd, 8th and 9th, 15th and 16th, 23rd, 24th. And you can register, you can call 602-321-7192 or go to the website nlpskills.com. Bill, tell somebody that's opening up to NLP practicing and how this would expand them and really open their lives up to a new way.
Yeah, we sort of introduced this already. In the NLP practitioner training, you've got four weekends, so it's 2 days each, 9 to 6 each day. And it, like I said before, it's sort of like the old Karate Kid movie. You know, he put the wax on one way and took it off another way. Put it on one way, took it off another way. After he had practiced for a while, he had a number of skills in place that when Miyagi tested him, he just went block, block, hit. He did everything that he needed to do to be an expert karate guy, but didn't even know he knew how to do it. So what we do is give you the basic skills of NLP, layered one on top of another in such a way that the NLP patterns become possible for you that you might not have even thought you knew how to do. So over this time period, you're going to learn two basic things. One is that you want to become the master of your own state. So, you know, salespeople, you know you need to be self-starters. It's good to get feedback, but you know you need to get yourself to the next sale and the next sale and the next sale. And it's about your internal state. You bring that state with you. So state mastery and then how we communicate with other people, that movement from just inside my own head to connection with other people. So that's a word we call rapport, and most people know what that means more or less. And what we talk about in NLP is that experience has structure. If anybody is an expert in any area and I can get enough information, quality information about how they do what they do, I can get a similar result to what they're doing. We used to think that genius was something you were just born with, but from an NLP point of view, it's a teachable skill. And if you can get the critical components, you can actually install the patterns of excellence and genius inside yourself too. And in a way, the NLP practitioner training is the blueprint for how to model the behavior of expertise wherever you find it in the world. It's I think it's $1,700 on the website, and if you register right now, it'll be a $1,500, so you get $200 discount, and you can go right online and register for that, or just give me a call at 602-321-7192 and get yourself involved in this.
And it really helps just in everyday life. And I'm on Bill's website, NLPLifeCoachPhoenix.com, and I want to read you this. This is something. Bill Thomason is a master at finding and breaking through barriers of the mind. He combines neuro-linguistic programming, breakthrough technologies, and advanced listening theory. How is listening the key to life, Bill?
Yeah, as soon as you're in that biofeedback loop, it's not about listening. When we talk about, it's not just what you hear, listening is a much more complete process. So number one, again, we're going to have you paying attention to minute bits of physiology and neurology and language and tonality that you weren't able to really consciously pay attention to before, and actually find out what's going on over in somebody else's world. We say that neuro-linguistic programming practitioners are people who are good map makers. Now, if you think about what a map is, it's a representation of a territory. And if you've got a good map, your map is going to be predict pretty successfully what actually goes on in the territory. With people, we predict behavior all the time. Sometimes we're on target and sometimes we're not. When we get more information, we make a better map of what's going on with another human, we can interact with them in ways that are much more successful and begin to predict behavior. We also know where to interrupt their pattern to help them make the shifts and changes they need to be more happy and successful in their lives. So it's about that.
Well, there's one thing I understand, Bill. I listen my way to the penthouse and I talk my way to the outhouse.
That's about right. That sounds like cowboy wisdom to me.
Anyway, Bill, and if you go to Bill's NLP Life Coach Phoenix.com, you can get on there for business and everything. But there's something I want to point out here. If you've been listening to Bill's voice, do you see how subtle and how easy it would be to listen to Bill to expand your life and open your eyes to your own talent? And that's basically what NLP does. It opens their eyes to themselves. Wouldn't you say, Bill?
I'd say so. I think of people kind of like if there was a lock and you're constructing a key, you want to make sure you get all the right little ridges in your key so that it slides in and clicks all those little tumblers just right, so that people are individual and what you need for communication is different than what somebody else needs. When I can communicate with you the way you need to get the information, we're in rapport with each other and communication flows easily, naturally. Again, experience has structure. We can teach that structure.
And even the bad imprints have structure and you can feature them and expand them out, right, Bill?
Well, you can. And again, you can also know where to intervene in the programming you don't want so that you can install a new program that actually gets you what you do want.
And you know, the thing is with NLP, Bill, it's very simple and subtle in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very simple, very subtle, and there's in learning the structure of it, it's different, and like you said, it's different than just telling people what to do. A big part of what learning these skills is about the listening and eliciting information, eliciting how people need to get it. In fact, there's a big emphasis not so much on the what and the why of things, because if I ask you why, you usually have an immediate resistance to it. Why'd you do that? If I ask you, how did you do that, you go to a different place in your brain and nervous system to answer that question, and it's a much more easy way to communicate and you feel more comfortable putting it all together so that I can understand it too.
And see, that's the thing. It's just opening out an understanding about yourself, isn't it?
That's right. Understanding about yourself and about other people. And some of us think we're sort of set in our ways and we are the kind of person who's this or that or another. Truth is, though, we're changing all the time. You know, we're talking about neurolinguistic programming, creating positive change in people's lives. That change is happening all the time. In fact, doctors and scientists will tell you that you wake up every day with new cells. In a few weeks, you've literally got whole new cells in your whole body. All the soft tissue in your whole body actually regenerates itself. It's like you've got new eyes, you've got new ears, you've got new stomach, you've got new organs in your body every few weeks. For hard tissue like bones and teeth, it might take a little bit longer, but some of those things, we're changing so much every day on a regular basis, most of us don't really recognize. It's good as we grow older that we're able to focus on things. It's also good to keep the childlike ability to shift, change, learn, be excited about things. If we could learn like a three-year-old, you know, watch any three-year-old. They already know how to learn. You push the little phone books up against the wall when you're 3 years old, and pretty soon you can actually reach that light switch that's up there. And what's going to happen to that light switch? It's going to go on and off and on and off and on and off and on and off because it's kind of exciting. We're just in wonder when we're 3 years old. So I'm going to invite you as individuals in the Cowboy Wisdom listening audience to let yourself learn like a three-year-old again. And from there, you can open up to new programming, new possibilities, get way more of what you want in your world.
And with that, we've run out of time, Bill, and I want you to give the people some wisdom to live with, and I'll close out the show.
Okay, everybody's doing the best they can with the resources that are available to them. So the people you've been having conflict in life, there's a way to think of them like they're messing with you, you're in conflict with them, you got to defend yourself. But on the other hand, if they're just doing the best they can with the resources that are available to them, even your parents were and your exes were, the people you had the most difficulty were, you get a little more tolerant of the way people are because they're just doing the best they can. And from a place where you don't have that immediate judgment about them, you're free to communicate with them in the ways that are actually going to work between you and recognize the magnificence and wonderfulness of them, because the more you do that, the more they tend to show up as wonderful. How's that for cowboy wisdom?
That is absolutely perfect, Bill, and I want to thank you and all the listeners, and we'll be here next Tuesday night with Marie Weichel with Spreading Joy. It's a nonprofit organization that buys school supplies and Christmas gifts in the Denver, North Carolina area, and it's called Spreading Joy. So anyway, Bill, thank you, and everybody have a good weekend and a good evening.
Thank you, Robert.
Yep, thank you.